Luke chapter 19, verse number 37. It says in verse 37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known even now, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and encompass thee around and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Back to verse number 41, that's what we're going to focus on tonight. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. My heart tonight is burdened for our country, and I think there's a lot of us in that same position. I preached a little bit on kind of along these same thoughts last Wednesday. I preached on serving God and being happy about it, and I didn't want to preach on that. The Lord made me preach on that. Serving God and being happy about it, whether you wanted to or not, finding the joy in the middle of the turmoil going on around us and serving God just because it says to serve God and be happy about it. Serving God with gladness, the psalm says. We talked about that. But I'm not preaching that tonight. Try to look at the truth here in the scriptures that I'm afraid of a lot of churches, a lot of church folk today have missed sight of. I feel like most Christians, they either don't understand this or just don't care, and that scares me, to be honest with you. The verse that got my attention, I already told you, verse 41, and when he's come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. It's one of the three times in the Bible we have recorded of Jesus weeping. Once here over his nation, his people, the town of Jerusalem. Once there at the grave of Lazarus, because of unbelief. And we read of him weeping over in Hebrews while he's praying and crying in tears, it says in Hebrews. This really stuck out to me here. Jesus has come down off the Mount of Olives. You probably know the passage here. He's come down off the Mount of Olives. His disciples have got the colt for him to ride on in the town. He's already accomplished that. He's coming into the town with his disciples, and they're praising his name for all he's done, the glories that he's done. The town, the Pharisees there told Jesus to make his disciples quiet down. He said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones should immediately cry out. He says, I'm not going to do it. If I tell them to hush, the rocks will make noise. Let them speak. Then he got near the city and saw it and began to weep over it. Why? He tells us right in verse number 42, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem because they have missed their opportunity, and it breaks his heart. You say, what did they do? It tells us what they did. They rejected God and his prophets. It says in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather a brood under her wings, and ye would not. Yeah. I came to you to give peace to you, give salvation to you, and you refused it, you rejected, you did not believe it, and ye would not, he says. It says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And let me see what happens to Israel here. They turn their back on Jesus Christ, and they're still in that state today. But there's coming today, things are going to turn around. I don't believe in replacement theology. God's not done with Israel yet. He has a lot more things he's going to accomplish with them. Before this time, his focus is on the church, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for getting part of that. We see their disbelief of him and who he is and what he can do for them, and they refuse that. It breaks his heart, and we see him weeping. When I look at my country today, our country today, and the wickedness all around us and the wickedness in high places, our soon-to-be leaders promoting absolute sin so proudly, there's no way around it. That's what it is, a sin. They promote it, and it breaks my heart. That's not the country that we were founded on. We were founded by godly men who took a stand. I'm thankful for that. Some men took a stand for liberty and money. But thankfully, there were a few that took a stand for religious liberty, and God blessed it, and God used it, and allowed it to happen. And God used this country He's blessed this country. He's seeing revival here. We sent missionaries all around the globe because God allowed that to happen, religious liberty. But what I see now breaks my heart. I'm burdened for our nation. I don't know what the future holds for us in our nation. But that being said, I do not believe, and I don't think there's any biblical reason to believe, that God has done with our nation. Here in Jerusalem, he says, you missed your chance. I don't know that we're at that point yet. Here in this passage, we've all been looking at it, thinking about it. I've heard others talking about it, the Olivet Discourse, Mark chapter 13 is the passage I'm going to read. Go ahead and turn there to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter number 13. Verse says verse number 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and the synagogue shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. We know this is coming. Verse number 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. I know for a fact that we are not in the tribulation today. I can promise you we are not in the tribulation period today. I know that. Why? Because things are going to happen, have not happened, according to Revelation. But also because I'm still here. The rapture is not taking place. I've been saved for 16 years now, or almost 16 years. And I'm still here. I've not been raptured out. Church has not been raptured out. So we are not in the tribulation. So the Lord's not done yet. You say, what's holding him back? Mark 13, verse 10, and gospel must first be published among all nations. Apparently, God still has somewhere, some place he wants to send the gospel to. What else is there? He can come back any time, but he has not. Why not? The gospel must first be published. Apparently, he's not done reaching people yet. Apparently, there's some place he still wants the gospel to go to. Apparently, there's somebody he still wants to reach. Apparently, somebody's still willing to listen. Get me wrong, I do believe we are very close. I believe we're closer than you think. All these things are lining up here in the scriptures. I was talking to a preacher today about prophecy and some things that are taking place there in Jerusalem, and different things are lining up, and they've been trusting in Donald Trump for their safety, and now he's going to be gone. Things are lining up for us to get out of here. But I believe we're closer than you think, but I don't believe God's done yet. So if the gospel still needs to be preached, and we're running out of time, what are we going to do about it? We better get busy. If we need to spread the gospel and we only have a short amount of time left to do that, I don't know about you, but I don't want somebody else's blood on my hands because I was too lazy or just didn't care enough to give them the gospel. Romans 10, 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? It's time we get busy. I don't want to miss our opportunity. Jerusalem, as we saw here in Luke, they missed their chance at that time. The Lord's going to come back, and he's at the end time, there is going to be a revival in Jerusalem. We see those things. But at this point, they missed their chance, and Jesus wept over it. They turned their back on Jesus. They killed the prophets. They turned their back on God's plan, and they missed it, and it made Jesus weep. It broke his heart. Church, I believe we have a short time left here on earth to get things done that need to get done. If 2020 was our last year to serve God, what would you do differently? Would you give more? Would you care more? Would you do more for the Lord? Would you be more committed or sacrifice more? It very well could be our last year. What if January 2021 was our last month? What if this was our last service? I don't know when the Lord's coming back. None of us do. What would you do differently this week? Humans are procrastinators. I'm a procrastinator. I don't like to admit that. I don't want to be. I don't like that. But I am. It's the truth. This thing about the gospel, once it's too late, it's too late. There ain't no coming back to it. You can't go back. Once the church raptured out of here, we're done. We can't come back to earth. I won't want to come back to earth. Can't go back. But we're running short on time. It's time to get busy. Lord, I'm going to preach just a few minutes tonight on this thought. The reasons why we miss our opportunities. And this is very simple. The topical message, we'll get through this pretty quick and let you get home. Number one, we see the reason we miss our opportunities is because of anxiety. I don't like that word. I think it's used too much, but I believe it does fit here. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, everybody got their place there? Verse 25. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, this people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. This is Moses there talking to the people. We know the story here. This is talking pastors here in this passage, but the story is Israel has made it to the promised land. They've come through the wilderness. Moses sends in the 12 spies according to God's command. They go in. We know that 10 out of negative things to say, negative report about what they saw in Canaan land. But old Joshua and Caleb, they were excited about it. They said, we can take it because God said we could. That's what he says there in verse number 25. We know the story. Israel as a whole believed the report of the 10 of them. They were afraid of the giants, afraid they couldn't take them, afraid they didn't have the power to do that, and they missed out. God had already promised it to them, and they missed out. What happened? They missed the will of God because of anxiety, because of fear and lack of faith what God would do, what God said he was going to do. I believe a lot of Christians in America that are missing opportunities to serve God and witness for God and spread the gospel because they're simply too scared. Well, I don't know what they might think of me, or that won't be accepted very well. Well, I can't go there right now. I can't do there. I can't do this. I can't be a preacher. I can't do these things. It's not accepted. It's not popular. I'm too scared. Church, don't miss an opportunity to serve God because of your fear and lack of faith in what God said. Israel, at least the ones 20 years or older, missed the opportunity to see promised land because of anxiety, because of fear, lack of faith. God would do what he said he was going to do. Don't miss your opportunity. Numbers 13:33, it talks about the giants there. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It says, and we were in our own sight. Got their eyes in the wrong place. Looking at themselves, they're looking at what God can do. Again, we start looking at ourselves and what we can do. I promise you, you're going to be scared. There's going to be fear. Start looking at God, that would go away. What was the reason? They were just scared. Afraid God was wrong. He promised it to them. Israel missed their opportunity at Canaan land. Jerusalem in the book of Luke, they missed their chance. They rejected God. Don't miss your chance to serve God in our nation. It's time we get the gospel out. It will affect a lot more than just you. You say, I can't do that. I'll leave it to somebody else. You're going to affect more than just you. I told you Sunday night, there's somebody you can reach and maybe nobody else can. Somebody you can reach that I can't reach. We better get busy. I read this story. It's kind of funny. Benjamin Harrison. I've never heard of him before. You probably haven't. Anybody know who Benjamin Harrison is? Anybody? He's the president of the United States. He was elected in 1889. He was the only grandfather and grandson duo. He was the grandson. His grandfather was the 9th president. Him and his wife were the ones living in the White House when indoor house electricity became popular. History says Harrisons were so intimidated by the newfangled electricity they put in the White House that they were afraid to touch the light switches. The story, at least if it's true, the story I read, said that if the lights happened to be on at bedtime and no servants were around, they would sleep with the lights on because they didn't want to touch the switch, afraid of what might happen. Something we take for granted today, we don't think twice about it. For them, it caused so much fear, they refused to get near it. What was it held them back from such a great opportunity to sleep in the dark? Fear. Simple to us. In their eyes, it was great. There's a lot of things simple in God's eyes that are great to us. In God's eyes, it's very simple. He already promises he'd do it. He already told Israel they could have the promised land. Simple in his eyes, just a flip of a switch. But for them, it was too big for them to handle. Had their eyes in the wrong place. Don't let fear keep you away from serving God in these last days. We don't have much time left to serve God. We don't have much time to spread the gospel. I'm not talking about just a lot of us run our mouths and complain about politics. I've heard plenty of that. We aren't afraid to do that. We aren't afraid to spout our opinions. Why are we afraid to spread the gospel? I've heard plenty of opinions and loud and clear about opinions about masks and about this Democrat and that Republican, all these different opinions. I've heard plenty of those. Why are we afraid to spread the gospel? We spread our opinions, not the word of God. I believe if not careful, we'll miss the opportunity to spread the gospel. Will you go? We'll let fear hold you back. Number one, we miss opportunities because of anxiety, because of fear. Number two, we miss opportunities because of our priority. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter number 5. A lot of Christians, especially in America anyway, miss opportunities to serve God because of our stuff, because of our priorities. We have so much stuff. Our schedules are full of just stuff. We don't have time for serving God a lot of times. Everything else takes priority over serving him. Well, I would read my Bible this morning, but I slept in late. Now I'm late for this, so I just had to skip it today. Priorities. Well, I would invite that person to church, but I really don't have time to talk to him right now. I'll get him later. We have our priorities out of order. We prioritize everything else ahead of serving God. Mark chapter 5, verse number 14. Go ahead and go back to verse number 1 for sake of time. Not for sake of time, but sake of the story. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. The wild man, a crazy man. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there is nigh unto thee, now unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out about to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him, and was possessed with the devil, and had a legion, and sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. I think it's pretty funny. They came when he was sitting and clothed in his right mind, then they were scared of him. He just had 2,000 devils leave out of him. Now he's a normal-looking human being, and now they're afraid of him. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with a devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, they had been possessed with a devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things were done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." I think we know the story here. I think I may have preached on this before. I'm not sure. This crazy man, the Gadarene, he's there. They can't stop him. They can't chain him up. They've tried to. He breaks the chains. He cuts himself. He's running around. He's full of devils. It says 2,000 of them inside him. Legion. There were many. Jesus comes across the sea after preaching all day, by the way. He comes across the sea for the one man. He heals him. And then the legion has to go into the swine, into the hogs. And Jesus lets them. And they run off the cliff and into the sea and they die. Oh, what a waste of bacon. That's a joke. People of the town come out to see what they heard about their pigs, and they're angry. These Gadarenes could have experienced dwelling with Christ, that the very Son of God is in their presence. He wouldn't normally be there. He's in their presence. This is not no normal Jew would go hang around 2,000 pigs. Jesus has come over across the sea to heal this one man. He are in the presence of the Son of God, and now they're angry about it. This isn't just anybody that came. This was the very Savior of the world. The Savior could be the Savior of them in their town, healing the possessed man. What an opportunity. But because their priority was their pigs and their money and their income, they prayed him to depart out of their coast. The worst prayer they could ever pray, and Jesus answered their prayer. He left, got out of there. Selling pigs was their priority. Making money was their priority. Jesus just took that away from them, and the devils went to the pigs, ran off the side of the cliff. That was their income. I think a lot of the reasons we're seeing our nation like it is today is because church as a whole has its priorities out of place. We are too busy with life, and I'm not just talking about money here, that's what I said about pigs, but there's a lot more than just money. We're too busy with life, and too busy with a job, too busy with a retirement, this or that. We have become complacent about the things of God. We don't care about their neighbors dying and going to hell because we're too busy with our lives. You say, what am I supposed to do about it? I can't save them. No, you can't. It's our job to give the gospel to them. How shall they believe in whom they? How shall they call on whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? Have you cared enough to give them the gospel? We have our priorities out of order. Solomon got his priorities out of order. You say, "Oh, I would never do that." Solomon did it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. You can stay there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 4. "I made me great works. I builded me houses." It's the words of Solomon. "I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted the trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions, a great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the province. I got me singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was a portion of my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands were wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, I've done everything. I've built this place, built this, these vineyards and orchards, all these things, these singers and instruments, and I've done this for myself, and I've rejoiced in it. I've rejoiced in my own labor. I've enjoyed it. It's all just vanity and vexation of spirit. No profit under the sun. You say, oh, not me. I'll never do that. Solomon, the wisest that ever lived, wisest any before him, got his priorities out of order. Where's your priority tonight, church? I believe a lot of times we miss a lot of opportunities to serve God because they're not our priority anymore. Church is not a priority. Serving God is not our priority. Getting the gospel is not our priority. You miss opportunities because of anxiety. You miss opportunities because of priority. You miss opportunities because of familiarity. Mark chapter 6, you should still be right there close by. One chapter over, Mark chapter 6, verse number 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. This is Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. The people missed Jesus because he was familiar to them. They missed the blessings of God, and they missed knowing him as their personal Savior. They had unbelief because he was familiar to them, and they would not believe him. How often do we forsake the gospel, forsake spreading the gospel just because it's familiar, just because we've heard it before? We take it for granted. Oh, I've heard that all my life, or at least a good portion of my life. Tonight while I'm preaching, oh yeah, preacher, I've heard all those things before. I know you have because I preached it before. What are we doing with it? How often do we miss it because it's simply familiar? I've heard that over and over again. I've heard preachers all my life talking about we're running out of time, it's the end times. I've heard all that before. What are we doing with it? Oh, they know me. They know where I go to church. If they need me, they'll come to church. They know where I'm at. I'm not going to listen to that. I've heard all that before. It's all familiar. The Nazarites missed out on Jesus because they were familiar with him. It's a familiarity. Don't miss out on Jesus just because you've heard it before. Don't miss out on serving God just because you've heard it before. Don't miss out on the Great Commission just because you've heard it before. I believe we're in our last days. I've already said that. You know what? I have heard it before, and I believe it's closer now than it ever has been. Don't miss the opportunity to serve God just because it's familiar, just because you've heard it before. Don't get tired of it. We get so used to church and coming to church and singing our songs and listening to preaching and then going back home and doing it all over again the next service. It becomes routine. What happens? We get in a rut. I think my pastor always says the only thing in ruts are roadkill and stinky, stagnant water. That's what hangs out in ruts. It's not where I want to be. Time to get out of the rut, get out of a routine. Don't get too familiar with it. Get busy about serving God. Don't get bored with it. Get busy about it. If you're bored with serving God, it's because you're not doing something. Time to get busy. We miss our opportunities because of anxiety, priority, familiarity, and lastly, because of flexibility. Some of us miss out on blessings of God just because they're stubborn and willing to change. You saw that earlier in our text. I'm not going to read it again. They're in Jerusalem. They didn't want to change. They liked their religion. They didn't want to believe Jesus. They were unwilling to change. They were unwilling to listen to Jesus. Some are unwilling to take time for church. Some are unwilling to be used of God for the sake of time. They claim to be a Christian. They claim to love God and serve God, but they just won't do some things. Well, I come to church, but I won't tithe. Well, I come to church and I'll tithe, but I won't give to missions. Well, I come to church and I'll tithe and I'll be faithful and I'll give to missions. With that visitation thing and that giving the gospel thing, preacher, that's not for me. Where do you draw the line at? Where does your flexibility end? You said, not me, preacher. Really? There's nothing you wouldn't do for God. Nothing? What about that sin he's told you about you haven't removed yet? What about the person he told you to witness to you haven't witnessed to yet? What is it? Stubbornness. Our flexibility or lack of. Don't miss an opportunity to serve God because you're too stubborn. There he goes. Four different reasons why we miss opportunities to serve God. Our anxiety, we're just scared, full of fear. Our priority is in the wrong place. Our familiarity, we just get used to hearing it. And our flexibility. We're just too stubborn. Church has said it multiple times. I believe we're living in the last days that multiple times tonight. I don't think we have much time left. Don't waste the opportunity. You may say, well, what opportunity do we have? Well, this COVID stuff and the new administration coming in, all these things. I can't think of any time in history. I thought about this today and tried to find some things. I can't think of any time in history. I couldn't find any time in history when a true God-breathed revival has taken place when it wasn't during a time of persecution of the church. Every time. You look, you study it every time. Look at the book of Acts. Look at the works of Paul. Look at his persecution all through down history, all the way to America, even in our own country. Look down south at what God did there. Look at the Sandy Creek revival. Why did that happen? Back in North Carolina, where I'm from. Because Baptist preachers were being pushed further and further south because of persecution. Revival took place because they weren't allowed to preach. And they did it anyway. People were saved. Preachers were ripped from their pulpits and dragged outside and literally beaten to a bloody pulp and left for dead. What happened? Revival. Do I want to see that happen? No, I do not. They come in here to get me, I'm going to shoot back. Do I want to go through persecution? No, I do not. That does not sound exciting to me. Can God use it? You better believe he can. What is God doing in our country today? I don't know. Is he done with us? I don't think so. Has he turned his back on us? We deserve it. But I don't know that he has. God may be working. I believe we have an opportunity. It may be the last one. I don't know. We better use it. Don't miss your opportunity, church. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for Scripture and the challenge it can be to us. Lord, I pray you help us to take it and apply it to our lives and not waste our time here, not waste our opportunities. In Jesus' name.